Charlie Wayne Kilpatrick comes to us from Heritage Christian University in Florence, Alabama. He's been a professor there for, over 47 years. I love Wayne Kilpatrick. I was in a lot of his classes. Just a very, very quick story. I was in his, when I first started school, there, I think it was in 86 or something, spring, and I had his world history class, World History II. In the end, I just loved it so much. And he said, "Well, you need to take my restoration history class." And I said, "What's that about?" And he said, "It's about the history of the church." I said, "We got a history?" So that shows you how green I was. But boy, I mean, I just, every word came out of his mouth, I just sucked up like a dry sponge. And so we're blessed to have him with us and the Friends of the Restoration and his influence. The guy has, he's probably forgotten certainly more than I'll ever remember. So he's just a great man, and we're blessed to have him. And today he's going to talk to us about schools in the state of Alabama. And so I look forward to hearing him. And y'all bear with us. He's going to have to tell me when to change the slide, and I'm going to change it for him.
I didn't bring my long distance glasses. Scott and Tom Childers and myself have been in more cemeteries than funeral directors. We've been in cemeteries from one side of this country to the other. So there's a lot of history there. And there's just something about the feel of going and visiting the grave site of some of the old soldiers that's gone on before us. And so we've soaked that in for a long time. I won't be able to cover every school that we've had in Alabama that related to Christian education, because some I had to have a cutoff point. And you'll see why as we get into this. But I wanted to start with the earliest known ones and to work my way forward. And somebody will have to clue me in when I'm running out of time. You may have to blow a whistle. I usually have a whistle on me, but anyway, I didn't bring it today. E.S. Wiley's Plantation School is the earliest that we can find documented, but that doesn't mean we know a whole lot about it. There were two men involved. Evans S. Wiley in Lowndes County, Alabama, had a big plantation, but he also had a desire to educate young men and try to encourage them to preach. And so he started a school, and it was referred to as a Bible school, as we'll see here. The earliest publication that we could find that talks about this is, this is from the Millennial Harbinger, and James A. Butler is the one who wrote it. But what I want to do is start reading in that second paragraph there. It says, "One of the brightest stars in the firmament of our race, D.S. Moorer, will soon throw the coruscant beauties of an intelligent mind upon the vision of listening multitudes." I told you I couldn't see good. He is about 21 now, under the educational care of the learned, pious, and devoted E.S. Wiley. The Lord be praised for such acquisitions. May the field many, the young brother, like the valiant David, walk upon the battlefield with the sling stones of truth, and make the slang leaders of the, that is, that does say slang, make the slang, sling and slang here. The slang leaders of the sectarian host quail before him. And here's another young man who went to school with him too. Brother Curtis is walking, and this is James H. Curtis, is walking the length and breadth of the Latin and Greek preparatory to a more efficient effort against error. We look upon Brother Campbell's enterprise, or I guess that's contemplated institution, as a Ciceronian house for the Lord. So Butler was really happy over this Well, Campbell's the institution, but also the fact that Brother Wiley had a school and was training young men in that part of the country to be able to go out and preach. And later we're going to find that James H. Curtis is going to demonstrate this. I don't know what happened to Brother Moore. I don't see his name repeated after this. But you see, Brother Wiley had an interest in training young men to preach. And that's exactly what those young men did. They went out and began preaching. I'd like to point this out. Even in a little school, here's a guy that was studying Greek and Latin, or rather, Latin and Greek. If you read Barton Stone's autobiography, you know that when he went to, after he graduated from Caldwell's Log Cabin College, he goes to Washington, Georgia, and he preaches, or rather teaches, in Hope Hull School. He teaches Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. Learned it in a little log cabin college. That says something about the education they were getting then, as opposed to, we've dumbed it down a lot. Boy, they crammed a lot in. And so Brother Wiley, somebody on that plantation, was teaching Greek and Latin. Okay, this was from the Heretic. I said that was a Millennial Harbinger. My mistake. The Heretic Detector, November 1840, pages 357, 358. And if you wonder about the Heretic Detector, we can talk about that later. Okay, Bragg's Store, Lowndes County, Alabama. This is from the Millennial Harbinger, December 15th, 1839. I just want to drop down toward the bottom here. It says, Brother J.M. Barnes reached this place 2 days ago. He intends settling permanently in this county. Thank the Lord for our increasing strength. And this was James H. Curtis that wrote this in 1840. So this is page 91 of the Millennial Harbinger for that year. By 1840, Barnes had returned to Alabama. He had been preaching from about 1835 to about 1836 or 7. He was in Chambers County, Alabama. That's on the Georgia-Alabama line. And he was preaching in that area for quite a while. And then he goes back to South Carolina. And so he returns from South Carolina and comes in 1840 into Lowndes County. And this statement here was taken out of Richard L. James' dissertation on the Church of Christ in Alabama up till 1860. There's two dissertations. One picks up after the Civil War, and that's by another guy that I don't know. I don't have his manuscript. Scott, do you have a copy of that second part from 1860 to 1900? Have you received? I'll think of that guy's name in a minute. See, Brother Turner wasn't the only one that had a memory problem. I've had COVID twice, so I know that's what did it. I had hair before that, too. So it's been rough on me. He had formerly worked in Chambers County and had returned to South Carolina. Okay, William C. Kirkpatrick, the oldest brother of J.W. Henry's grandmother, this would be A.C. Henry's, that would be his mother-in-law. W.C. Kirkpatrick, or William C. Kirkpatrick, he was one of the pupils there on Wiley's plantation. And some of the historians of the Restoration Movement covering that part of the state say that W.C. Kirkpatrick was one of the most important men in the Restoration Movement before the Civil War. And so here's a man that was educated on Brother Wiley's plantation. Okay, and it was under Barnes, by the way. Henry, this is J.W. Henry, said that he had heard many reminiscences of his Uncle William, but Grandma Payne stuck to it to the last that James A. Butler is, as she pronounced it, was the greatest of all preachers, living or dead. So she never gave her brother much credit. James Butler was the best preacher. W.C. Kirkpatrick was the eldest brother of Sarah Kirkpatrick Payne. And Scott and I, and Tom may have been with us too, we visited the Payne Cemetery, and that's where this lady is buried. I didn't realize that at the time. He attended the Bible school, this is Kirkpatrick, conducted by Brother Wiley in Lowndes County by John M. Barnes. And this is John McKee Barnes. Now, this J.M. Barnes is not Justice McDuffie Barnes. They're not even related. They're a generation apart. Okay, Henry describes him as intellectual. This is W.C. Kirkpatrick, tall and sinewy, and would rise at 4 o'clock on Sunday mornings, walk from 20 to 30 miles to an appointment, preach from 11 to 1 or 2, and never dampen his collar. So he must have been a pretty cool dude. He wrote many articles on church history. This is Kirkpatrick, and similar topics for our current religious journals. And this is what Henry wrote about him. And J.W. Henry wrote a bunch of history on Alabama, and he pinched a whole bunch of it from his uncle. Okay, he went to Tennessee as a teacher. And Scott, you and I have noticed that there was a W.C. Kirkpatrick up in Middle Tennessee, and we didn't understand why. Well, Henry explains this, but Brother Barnes was a very strong influence on the men in Lowndes County. And so there were several. I'm not going to read this. This is just another statement. It's talking about how Brother Barnes, when he left Alabama in 1844, that he opened up a school just north of it's in Marshall County, just north of the county seat there, Lewisburg. I'll get Lewisburg out in a minute. Scott, I think you and I have been to that place where the old Berea College was at. But to show you the quality and the results of this man's teaching, even though after he went to Tennessee, L.C. Chisholm was trained by him. L.C. Chisholm was a very strong and very important man in the latter part of the 1800s, grew up in Tuscumbia, Alabama. And then there was also, Scott and I and Tom have been to Samuel DeWitt's grave up there in Gamaliel, Kentucky. And I think Sam may have been up there and traveled there too. But Brother Witt's son, one of his sons, and I never could find his name, but they would always say his son studied under J.M. Barnes at Berea College, and he became an associate justice to the United States. Justice of the peace here. So thank you for pulling me back. I was wondering. Okay. Spear, who was Joshua K. Spear's son, he also had a lot to do with Brother Barnes. He went to this college some, and he wrote this note, says, "Before I close this note, already too long, permit me to speak a word in reference to Brother John M. Barnes. He is engaged in a flourishing school in Maury County, and from the manner, his patrons universally express their approbation of his labors. I can say that Middle Tennessee ought to encourage his school liberally. He is a skillful instructor, is possessed of brilliant talent, is assisted by his highly accomplished lady, and does business with an energy and activity worthy of this best employment. Brethren, send your sons to him, and he will make them ornaments to the state and the church and the world. He educates for both worlds. Your brother in hope." This is W.S. Spear. This is from Nashville, December 28th, 1843. So I said he went in 44. So this says he was there in 43. So I'm not going to argue with that. Okay, Barnes was a much loved figure to his students. B.F. Monari was another one that was trained at that school in Kentucky, or in Tennessee, rather. And this is from Richard L. James, who quoted Monari having said this: "In the summer 1846, when in my 18th year, I made the good confession under the preaching of J.J. Trott and W.S. Speer, and was baptized by the hands of my revered teacher, John M. Barnes, to whose painstaking and skillful instructions I am mainly indebted for whatever literature attainments I may have made, and to whose memory I now gladly pay this tribute of undying affection. And so that was Menaire's quote on this. So he was a student also there. Okay, I'm going to come down to the next one. We don't have time to dig into every one of those, and I'm going to have to put this out here. They say that don't mean anything to a preacher, but I'm going to try to make it this morning. Okay. So Highland Home. A lot of people get this mixed up with another school that's called Mountain Home. There are two different schools and two different ends of the state. And so Highland Home is the next school that I could find documented that was started to educate people with a Christian education. Justice McDuffie Barnes was the most powerful force to work in South Alabama. Now, this is a lot of historians say he was. Now, I mentioned a while ago that others say that Brother Kirkpatrick was. But they were good together. Just out of Bethany College, he started Strata College, or school, rather, September 8, 1858. Now, when you go to Strata now, there's really nothing there, is there? You don't even have to blink your eye to drive through and miss it. You can keep your eyes open, and there's hardly anything there. I think the old church building is still standing, but I believe a few years ago, they stopped meeting there. And so, but this is where J.M. Barnes, and this is Justice McDuffie Barnes, grew up. And this is where he returned and started a school. Now, this is what he looked like when he graduated from Bethany College in 1856. And this is what he looked like at the time he died. So Brother Barnes was, he was a well-known person. He was a household word in South Alabama. He was well-educated, having received the preparatory training from Felix Tankersley at Strata. So there was actually a school there at Strata at one time before Brother Barnes went to Bethany. But apparently that school had ended because Brother Barnes started a school there in 1856. Okay, this fellow had been educated in Ireland, graduated University of Dublin, taught at Rocky Mount, which is now Highland Home. And after Barnes started the school there, he taught there. So this is where he got a lot of his education. But he got his AB degree during the presidency of Alexander Campbell, who founded the college. He began teaching then, 1856. But what I want you to look at, his school quickly grew in favor, soon developed into the Strata High School, with an enrollment nearly 200 students, of which his two brothers-in-law, Samuel Jordan and M.L. Kirkpatrick, who was, I believe he's a nephew of the W.C. Kirkpatrick we've been talking about, became the proprietors. The location was changed to Highland Home with a changed name in 1881. And so this is sort of giving you a history of how this school went from Strata into Highland High School, or Strata High School, which was now moving to Highland Home, and then it becomes a college. And so this is an advertisement here about the school, and this was in 1877. So the school at Strata, it's still there, but it's going to move in 81. J.W. Henry studied here. He's the guy that talked a lot about Kirkpatrick in a school under Brother Barnes. And his information regarding the early history of the Disciples of Christ in Alabama came from the written sources where there was any, or were any. Okay, so Henry then preserved a lot of this information for us. This is a picture of here on this side over here is Jordan. In the middle is Kirkpatrick, and Brother Barnes would be on our right. Okay, this is the way the building looked when they moved there to a Highland home. And this is an inside look at the classrooms. You see, it's just one big room here where they're studying. And look at all the, obviously, there's not a blackboard. If it is, it's at the far end where they have to turn sideways to see it. But I like the tables. There's students on both sides. And I imagine if you counted those, there'd be 60 or 70 students there. And this is another picture where they were just having leisure time outside, and you got young ladies and young men in school together. That's another thing that I failed to mention about Brother John McKee Barnes, the first J.M. Barnes. He was very interested in educating the female youth too. And Scott is living up there not far from where Brother Barnes finally ended his career. But they were starting a school that was going to train a lot of female students. I believe it was called South Kentucky Female College or School. Yeah. So Scott lives very close to where Brother John Barnes finally died. But J.M. Barnes also wanted to train the females as the ones who wanted an education. And this is the best shot I've seen of the old school. Of course, it's not there anymore. This was a catalog to the college there. This is 2 years before they closed the school down. This is the 1913-1914. It closed in 1916. In 81, they moved the school to Highland Home. The school continued until 1916. The school was taught by Barnes, Jordan, and Kirkpatrick. And both men were J.M. Barnes' brother-in-laws. Both men had married one of his sisters. Okay, and then this is another shot of Brother Barnes, and this is his monument there in Montgomery, where he remains wait for the Lord to come. Here's a historical marker standing in front of the Highland Home School. It's a public school now, and that says my battery is running low, so I'm going to be in trouble here. We don't have a plug up here anywhere, do we?
There's one behind you. There's one right here.
Well, no, it's not.
That's not either. Okay. Here we got a pile of this
here. Okay. That's good. That's good to know, Scott.
You better.
That's good to know. Well, I'll just have to wing it from there. I'll have to take the clicker back from Scott for sure. Yeah, I know what he's doing. Okay, I'm not going to read this. I just wanted to flash it up there, and you can see that this is talking about the pioneers in education, Samuel Jordan, Milton L. Kirkpatrick, and Justice McDuffie Barnes. So the school then, in 1916, they gave it to the county, and it became a public school. And there's been a public school there ever since on that site. And that's what that's all about. Okay, in the cemetery up there where Jordan and Kirkpatrick are buried, remember, I said Barnes is buried in Montgomery, but this is a plaque dedicated to all three of the men who helped shape the South, at least that part of the country, in education. It says, preachers, teachers, planters, when this was wild frontier, taught with love and unstinted, helped bring religion here, kith and kin, take notice. These leaders, neath this sod, shaped a growing country, then monument, their monument to God. So this is relating to them. This is a biographical sketch. As I said, I don't have time to cover all of this, but I do want to show you that you can find information in various things. This was in Thomas McAdory Owens, Alabama, and a Dictionary of Alabama Biography, Volume 3. So You can find it there. That's the school that stands on the site today. And as I said, there's been one ever since. I do want to talk about Mountain Home. That's a college that most people doesn't know. Now, Gary over here, he found some journals that this guy had published, and he let me have those. I'd been looking for material. J.M. Pickens, James Madison Pickens, was the man who came and started the school there. Now, there'd been a school on this site, but it was just a general school. You send everybody there, and they go and learned just a secular education. But what I want you to see, this man here, J.M. Pickens, and this came from one of his distant relatives, like a great-great-great nephew, and some other pictures along with it. But in 1869, Pickens got the state to approve for the school to be introduced. And so I'll just read it. By an act approved February 6, 1869, 4 years after the war between the states, legislature of Alabama authorized a normal school at Mountain Home with no appropriations listed. There was a school at Mountain Home all during the decade of 1870 and 80, offering work on the elementary and secondary levels with possibly some college courses. James M. Pickens, a minister in the Church of Christ and a teacher, was principal and owner of the school. Andrew Pickens, Miss Gertrude Pickens, and Miss Lou Williams also taught. Now, Lou Williams was J.M. Pickens' sister-in-law. Her sister Mary had married J.M. Pickens, so she was teaching. But there was one other teacher there. T.B. Larimore taught there for about a year and a half. And Larimore got the idea to start his school at Mars Hill from working with J.M. Pickens there. But Pickens trained several people in that area that became gospel preachers. And to me, that was the whole purpose of Christian schools, is to train people, get them ready for the Lord, but even more than that, to train young men to go out and preach. And so I think that's why the church is so strong in the north end of Alabama, is because of these schools like Larimore's. I definitely know Larimore's was, but Pickens also contributed to this. Okay, that's where Pickens bought. No, that's where he got married. I'm sorry. I've got one of these that shows when Pickens bought the land. Okay, the large, well-adapted, commodious boarding house. Now, Ralph Graham, who lived across the road and actually owned this property, is the one who wrote this in a little historical flyer up there in North Alabama. Boarding house is still standing. Well, it was at that time when he wrote it, and is the residence of Riley Hill family. The dining room is in the basement. The kitchen was in a separate building behind the main dormitory. Even the kitchen down at Highland Home behind Samuel Jordan's house was separate from the house. You didn't want the kitchen catching on fire and burning your house down. And so that's the reason that they did this. Okay, discipline in the dining room was such that a person in charge did not speak for the young ladies to obey, but merely scrape a foot on the stone floor to give directions to table manners, rising and marching out. One scrape meant one thing, two scrapes meant something else, and so on. Mr. Ralph Graham said that his mother actually went to school under J.M. Pickens' widow. Pickens was killed in 1882, murdered. And so Sister Pickens tried to carry the school on for a while. And he said that she carried on that tradition. And the mother said that one scrape meant you quieten down, second scrape, sit down, and the third, if you scraped three times, get up, it's time to get out of here. And so so Mr. Graham, he was a well of knowledge relating to this school. Okay. So Miss Pickens finally sold the school in 1889 to Isaac Hollingsworth. And so that brought to an end the Christian school. Hollingsworth was a Quaker, and he and his wife just started a secular school. paid $1,150 for 325 acres, including the school plant and everything. So that's not a whole lot of money to us, but back then it was quite a bit. Okay, Pickens, while he was there, began publishing a paper. It's first the Christian Monthly, and then it became the Southern Christian Weekly. And this man here he is probably as responsible as anyone, or maybe more responsible, in the conservatism there in the valley, the counties that touch the Tennessee River north and south. Okay, this is a picture of the old building. It was still standing. You can tell that's what, about a 53 or 54 DeSoto or something like that. I know you can recognize this other one. Well, maybe I didn't put it in there. There's one that has a 57 Chevy in it, and so I know it was still standing in 1957. This is Mr. Graham's house, who set it set across the road from where the school was at. And this is talking about the pitiful condition that Sister Pickens got in, and that's the end of that. And so, Scott, we're going to have to, somehow I'm going to have to depend on this other. Okay. We don't have to read all of that, but Crockett McDonald first came into North Alabama in 1826. Crockett McDonald came from up around the Bowling Green area, and I was friends with his great-great-great-granddaughter, Miss Mary Willis, who lived in Coons, Texas. And she gave me a lot of information on him. But I don't know how that one got poked in here. Yeah, there's the 57 Chevy. Yeah. So it was still standing in 1957. I don't know where that other one came from. It's out of sync. Okay, Pickens published a journal, and I can probably see now a whole lot better just like this. And he ran for governor in 1880, and well, he's 81 when he was killed. And a lot of people believe that Joe Wheeler was responsible for that, because Pickens ran against him for Senate. And Pickens was very strong politically in that area because of the paper and because of the educational thing. And a lot of people think General Joe Wheeler might have had a hand in that. Okay, go ahead. That's Pickens' grave, and it's not at Highland Home in North Alabama. This is in Columbus, Mississippi. I started to say Tupelo, but that's a little too far to the center there. This is Columbus, Mississippi, and he's buried in the Williams family plot. Pickens' father-in-law was a very prominent member of the church there in that area. Okay, so I can't read that. Yeah, that's this is about the man that killed J.M. Pickens. And they let him out after five, and he came home, and his son-in-law killed him, because he threatened to kill his son-in-law, and the son-in-law beat him to the draw and killed him. And the son-in-law didn't have to go to prison at all, because everybody that saw it said it was self-defense. So this man that killed Brother Pickens, he was hard to deal with. That's another picture of Pickens' monument there. And that's an advertisement to Mountain Home School. We're looking at the site at the end of that little road there on that little grade is where the main building stood. And go to the next. This is part of the foundation. This is one of the steps that went up into the building. And I found a lot of handmade brick there. I've got several at home that came from that site. Okay, next one. Okay, let's see. So you were just kidding a while ago. We've got five more minutes. Okay. Scott's going to make sure I stop on time. Okay. Go ahead to the next slide. Okay. Franklin College. This is where the education for T.B. Larimore started under Talbert Fanning. Fanning had started the school in 1845, and it ended in 1866. Now, that was Franklin College, but it goes through some other changes. And his two probably the most outstanding graduates was David Lipscomb and T.B. Larimore. So that shows sort of the quality of the school, because Larimore got to share with men like Lipscomb and some of the others that made names for themselves. This was the house that was standing about a year and a half ago, and we still believe it was burned down intentionally by somebody. Okay, next. Okay, this is just a picture that was taken from Shrigley's book on Larimore and his boys, and this shows the whole view of Mars Hill and the whole thing. It shows a picture of the house. It's not drawn to scale. And Larimore's in-laws lived in that little house across the road there. There's Cox Creek sort of circling around. Brother Milton has seen that a bunch. And it circles around. There's a big 2.5 or maybe 3-story brick house sits on that site now. But that's where the Greshams live. And so Larimore and his wife inherited that land from the Gresham estate when her father died.
Mars Hill back over in June. His law, Dr. Law's rushing right here.
Okay. I was wondering who that guy was going to be. Now I know. I'll have to get acquainted with him. This was one of Larimore's brother-in-laws, J.C. Ott. There's a small cemetery, and it's probably not a whole lot bigger than this room here, is it? And nearly everybody in there was somebody important in the work there at the school. J.C. Ott was, as I said, he was one of Larimore's brother-in-laws, but he also was a teacher there at Mars Hill. And I knew his granddaughters, Belle and Catherine. You remember them, Brother Milton. They could be a thorn in the flesh every once in a while. But they did have a lot of information on the school there. This is probably the most outstanding student that came, or the most well-known, I'd say that came through the school there at Mars Hill. There you see a school gathering around the Larimore house. Go to the next slide, if you don't mind. Okay. And here's two more. There's F.B. Shrigley over to the right, and there's Brother E.A. Elam. Now, Elam came from Burritt College, and he came to teach at Mars Hill, but he also, we understand, took some classes while he was there at Mars Hill. But Brother Elam was one of those men who was a teacher there. And this is Brother W.B. McQuitty, William McQuitty. He's buried at War Trace, Tennessee, in one of two cemeteries that I know about. And he was a Mars Hill graduate, his brother J.C. McQuitty. And, I'm showing you some other graduates here. This is F.C. Sowell, and he was from Columbia. And that is, what does that say there? The 53rd annual appointment at South Harper Church of Christ. He came back 53 years in a row and preached there for a special day. So he must have been well-loved. After a while, you sort of get tired of seeing the same guy, you know, show up for the special day every year. I'm just joking there, but they loved him. Most of the time, I only get invited one time. I think F.B. Shrigley was the best known. Now, J.C. McQuitty, you know, he was influential through Gospel Advocate. This is the monument Brother Sowell has, just a small monument. By the way, the house he lived in is still standing in Columbia. And so Brother Sowell went back there, and he started a lot of churches in that area. So he was a very valuable student at Mars Hill. This is Brother J.H. Holbrook. I like this picture because it looks like he's holding a mop in his teeth. I've wondered how in the world could that fella eat? Because maybe he had some pins to pin his mustache back. I don't know. But Brother J.H. Holbrook is one of my favorite figures because he worked a lot in North Alabama. He's the man that is the reason that John Taylor's grave has a monument there. He visited that grave and he was just appalled. The grave had been unmarked for nearly 9 years. And Brother Holbrook started trying to encourage people through the Gospel Advocate to put a monument there. And finally, they raised the money to do that. Now, this is, he's buried way out in the country down there in Levy County, Florida. That's where he took his wife, his first wife, because she was very ill and the doctors recommended they go south. And so he did. But Brother Holbrook, he was very influential in North Alabama and came out of Middle Tennessee, Perry County, Tennessee. Okay, next slide, Scott. Okay, Larimore's Boys, you can click it again. Okay, so here's Shrigley, and that's Fletcher D at the top. That's FB. And you've got FW down here who's buried in the Shrigley Cemetery in Coal Hill, Arkansas. And I love what's carved on that. It says one of the four F's. Now, some of you know what that means. Most of you are wondering, what in the world did he mean by that? Sister Shrigley had four sons, and every one of them, their first name started with an F. This is Frank. And so Philo Bunyan, she spelled it with an F instead of a PH, and Fletcher Douglas. So those were the influence that came from Mars Hill. And of course, there were others too. Yep, it's almost time. when the warden comes, you know it's time. Thank you for being here.